Bill, you are first on the stack.
Cam, before
okay,
stack.
First, I want to say I think Kim's doing exactly what we should be doing, is looking closely, making sure we understand the numbers. So thank you, Kim, for doing that. I guess you need to make sure you're actually comparing. What you're comparing is really looking at the same data, because I know it's confusing if one of them is looking at cash flow versus, and the other's looking at income, because it's not the same thing. And I don't know if that's where part of the discrepancy is or not. But if you can get cash flow reports, that would probably be helpful too, to and compare that.
I don't think we've gotten them yet, have we?
Well, for your business manager, perhaps.
This is LaLaurie. For the what we did is for the budget, I had someone come in and we did the cash flows and we consolidated them and we sent them out. And I resent them to Bill and to Jim this afternoon. But for the cash flow for the end of the year, that we'll get that done in the audit. But we are going forward this year. We have it set up to do it on a monthly.
Okay, Bill, there's your question. I don't have the P&L, so I guess I'm comparing the same thing.
I'm sorry? You said you don't have the P&L?
You just said they won't be ready until the audit, so I guess I don't have it.
No, you said cash flow. I said the cash flow, right. Cash flow, that will be in the audit, but I said going forward, what I did is I had someone come in and prepare the cash flow for going forward on a monthly basis. So what we have is we will have that this year going forward on a monthly basis, and we're updating the month of October. And I sent out the budget for the cash flow. I resent that to Bill and to Jim, but we had sent that out. I'll send that out again in case you don't have it. So we'll have that going forward. But the cash flow for the end of the year for KPFK, I mean, we have KPFT, we have PRA, but KPFK, that will come in the audit.
Okay, Bill, so there's the answer to your question.
Well, the cash flow statement is just for this projected for the coming year, which is good to have, but it's not for the last year.
Well, you have KPFT. We don't have the yet.
Well, we're on KPFK right now, and Bill just asked me if I was comparing it to the cash flow, and I don't have the cash flow.
Okay. This is Tracy. Can I put myself on the stack as well? And LaLaurie, do you want to answer or...
This is LaLaurie. Yeah, I did. I said that the cash flow, we do have KPFT, we have PRA. But for KPFA, that will come in the audit. We will get that completed in the audit. That's what it is. And that going forward, we'll have it on a monthly basis, that I had someone come in and create that so we have it going. And we have updated for October. So, but for the end of the year, we have the cash balance. We will determine that in the audit. We will have that available.
Okay. Before we go to Campbell, this is Tracy. I'm just going to say two things. One is that.
Tracy.
Yes, Campbell.
Come on back also, please.
I just said before we go to Campbell, I'm just going to say two things,
okay.
And then we're going to go to Campbell. I said that. Okay. And they'll be fast. The first is my guess would be, although I've never worked with the MEMSIS report, is that the MEMSIS report in general records pledges. So my guess is that you may need to do some finessing of those numbers in order to extract payments from pledges.
No,
and also
it's not on our MEMSIS report. It has all of it as pledges and what we've actually collected.
And the date that you've collected it.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you've
and
been fiddling with those numbers.
Fulfillment.
Okay.
I think we have a different MEMSIS report than everybody else does.
Uh-huh, okay.
Ours is good. And
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yeah, and my guess is that on the expenses part of the ledger, the raw numbers that you got from Anthony should be the same raw numbers that LaLaurie got from Anthony, because those are the numbers that he has. So it seems to me like there should be a record of the adjustments that were made.
In fact,
and so my hope would be that you and LaLaurie would sit down and say, these are the changes that were made and why. And
that
should be workable.
my expectation would be that LeBron's numbers are higher because some of, you know, it's accrued expenses and then they go back in October and
okay.
So it goes back. So my expectation would have been that LeBron's are higher, not lower. That's
okay,
why it's like, wow, that's weird.
So you need an explanation about that. Okay, we'll try to get to the bottom of some of that before the next meeting.
I do have a comment on that.
Okay, I heard Ken. I heard our Paul with a point of personal privilege. Campbell's on the staff, so our Paul first.
Somebody's either got a TV or they're
right,
doing
yeah.
some big noise. I can hardly hear anything over it. Somebody
okay.
Move?
This could be the chair on the bus. Sorry about that. Sometimes that happens. Once we get the staff going, I will mute to see if that improves it. Apologies. Campbell, you're next on the staff. I won't be on the bus for too much longer.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I was wondering, and I know this is difficult to take, you know, kind of on the fly, but when were your drives last year? Do you recall offhand?
No, but I can look them up, but
okay,
why?
I would be interested because I noticed in December you got 411,000, looking at March, 523,000. And, you know, there's substantial drop-offs between the time and then May 435, June 311. So I was wondering what...
No, those numbers comport with the fund drive.
Right, I suspect so. But we are doing, for the first time, a December drive. And there's been some questions some folks have about it. And I know that y'all did very well on yours last year. So... you know, I was just hoping to get some information regarding when you had, you know, what the dates of the drive were. Apparently one ended about, I guess, in October or something like that. But if you could provide me that, I'd sure be happy as a clam.
Okay, just note that we have a lot more fun drive days than you guys do.
Right, right. Okay, if I'd appreciate just, you know, getting an idea of them, and you know.
I think Ken is next on the staff.
I'll send out an email with the data.
Our okay, thank you so much, Kim.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, my only comment, just for the benefit of the listeners, is the amount listed as listener support on the financial reports probably – or I'm assuming or speculating, includes fund drive income and other income, other listener support, possibly that comes in through mail solicitation or other non-fund drive activity that or somehow is excluded from being considered as fund drive. So that may be the cause of the difference, but I'm speculating. And that's because there isn't enough granularity in the listener support row on the on the financial statements. Again, that's just speculative. I think an honest accounting will resolve it. But in terms of distributing the reports, it is disconcerting to see here's a total for this month of this activity, and it's different on another page. It's looked at a different way or something. It makes it very hard to coordinate because we're using Excel spreadsheets. And I'm familiar with that kind of a thing. You have to really check where's that number coming from. Is it a sum of another column? Is it a sum from another page? It should all really be linked together. It shouldn't be piped in. And it should all tie together. So what I would think whatever has to be done to make that happen should occur. In other words, we shouldn't need a narrative, either in writing or audible, that explains the difference. We need to see it tied together so that there's no question. This adds up to 256, that adds up to 256. Everything adds up the same on no matter what page, no matter how you list the numbers, they all come up to the same totals. So that's it. But I do think most likely there's some other source of listener income or listener support, excuse me, which is not listed on the MemSys report. I would at least entertain the idea for looking for that. That's all.
Yeah, this is Tracy for the stack. Is there anybody else before I... Anybody else?
Arpal.
Okay, go ahead, Arpal.
Okay, yeah, regarding the MEMSIS stuff, it in fact does give you a whole bunch of information. It does show the amount pledged, shows the total paid, and therefore gives you your fulfillment rate, which is one of the big things we're always looking at WBAI, because there have been some variances in the past. And it gives you a whole crowd of information by size and credit cards, non-credit cards, stuff like that. So, yeah, this is where we're getting where it says total paid. It gives you the number down to the penny. So with MEMSIS, we've sort of valued the MEMSIS reports as being a good indicator of where we are. So I just wanted to say that you get all of that. You don't just get the pledges. You get the amount paid up on those pledges and your fulfillment rate. So that's it.
Well, a point of information, I'm referring to other sources of listener support that might not be recorded in the MEMSIS report, such as mail solicitations. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
No, they're not. That's not included in MEMSIS, Ken. The mail or the cars or anything. Only listener support from fund drives is in the MEMSIS report.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, this is Tracy. I'm just going to say, and I know things differ from station to station, but I'm going to kind of endorse what Ken is saying and saying that I believe that a good chunk of the direct mail efforts that KPFA makes are, for example, included in the listener support number. That is what the Excel backup has showed in our previous budgets and previous financial statements. So that Ken might be correct about the source of the discrepancy. That sounds right to me. Okay. Is there anybody else for the stack?
LaVarne.
Okay. Anybody else?
LaVarne.
Yeah, I heard you. I'm just seeing if there's anybody else.
Sure. Yeah, Campbell, one question.
Okay. Okay. LaVarne and then Campbell.
Not really a question. Just want to kind of like follow up on the report in terms of what we have here, that KPFK actually had ended the year with a surplus and a base of about $224,000 this year. So, and compared to, I guess I have a report here, compared to the prior year KPFK actually was about 200 and I think I have here, let's see, better words, it's $377,000 better than 2010. So KPFK actually ended the year with a surplus of about, you know, before the audit of about $224,000. That's about almost $400,000 better than last year. And so KPFK really contributed to the point we're at now in terms of producing a small surplus before the audit for the foundation. So just want to give that information out.
Okay, we'll go on to Campbell.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'm noticing that the differential between listener support, which was up like $115,000, but there's also an increase of $72,000 in premiums. Does that sort of reflect that, you know, you had to do more with premiums because that's, you know, that's not a huge margin in terms of the amount of revenues over the premiums. Can you give me an idea of what that means?
I think that's what that means. And, you know, it's something I've spoken up about. You know, we're giving more stuff away just to get pledges.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty costly. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. That's
okay.
It for me, Madam Chair.
Okay. Is there anybody else on the stack for KBSK? I'm going to consider this a somewhat incomplete report, and I think that we're going to have to revisit it in future weeks, in addition to what we do in closed session. It's just basically incomplete at this point, which is okay. We'll keep working on it. With that, it looks like we're going to shift over to the archives, which LaVarn is going to do for us, if she is prepared to do so. Are you? LaVarn?
Okay, I'm here. Yeah, LaVarn. Yeah, I got your email with the agenda, and I called the archives, and I chatted with them, and they sent me a spreadsheet with their grants, in case you have a question about that. So I'm prepared to discuss it, yes.
Okay, well, if you could go ahead and just give us a brief summary. It's a small division, obviously, but we should pay some attention to it, and this is our moment to do that.
Okay, first I'd like to ask, I'm going to get off the speakerphone because it's kind of crazy. First I'm going to ask if everyone is looking at the same report here. And the one that I'm looking at is the one that the budget sheet, the actual sheet that we sent out based on Kim's request to include the GL code. So it has the GL code in column A. So that's the report.
Yeah. Just to be clear, that document went out November 17th, and I did send a copy of it to the National Finance Committee earlier this evening.
Okay.
November 17th.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Okay. So if we look at the Pacifica Radio Archives, this year, I'm just going to go down to the bottom and let you know what the bottom line was. For Pacifica Radio Archives, they actually produced a small deficit this year. Now, that's very unusual, and I'll go to why they actually produced a deficit this year. And because, like last year, they actually produced a surplus of over $61,000. And the reason why, if we go up to the revenue, we see that we actually put budgeted for a grant income that we were expect the archives was expecting to get, and it did not come through. And it didn't come through because it was like part of a CPB grant funding, and all of that stuff was cut off. So it was we were pretty sure that it was coming through. They were working on it, and it didn't happen. So if you look at their revenue, we are actually under revenue by about $100,000 for the archives. And along with that revenue, there were actually a personnel staff in place to produce this, of course, grant. We had people there, and we were expecting that. So what the archives had to do was they actually, there were three people. They actually had to lay off one of those people, and we kind of like limped through the year that we still had a negative compared to budget. We were like $32,000, almost $33,000 worse than budget on salaries. And kind of made up for that in some of the other areas, of course, because the work that was in there that we were expecting to do and those costs, of course, that didn't happen. Like if you look at the program and expenses, you have tape restoration, so that work didn't happen. So therefore, we were better than budget there. So that's what happened. In 2011, we were expecting this grant, and it was a CPB grant, and all of that just totally fell through. So this year, before audit, the radio archives are coming in at about $8,500 deficit, compared to actually producing a nice surplus of about $60,000 last year. And that's kind of where we are. And if we want to go to the budget for this year we did not put in the grants for the budget. When Brian came on and he went through his budget to tell you what he was planning to do, we did not budget those grants this year. We just did a small one. And so, therefore, if any grants that come in, that will be absolutely that will be actually an opportunity for for the archives and the foundation. And the other thing is that they are actually working on a grant on foundation funding, and based on, and it's not in the budget, but we're already working toward that, and they are planning to submit it like by February. And so we're expecting maybe March or April that we can actually produce more, produce the foundation and actually produce our revenue, and actually that will produce a surplus for the archives. And actually we're looking at not just as actually putting the funding in to create it an endowment for the archives, but that's not in the budget. That will all be opportunity to the budget. So that's where we are.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to put myself on the stack. Does anyone else want to be on the stack?
Campbell.
Okay.
Bill.
Anybody else? Okay. All right. We'll go to Campbell, to Bill, and then to me.
Okay. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. The first question I have is, does this include, or is PRA getting any revenues through our affiliates?
What do you mean, getting revenue through the affiliate?
Well, such as, you know, doing, whereas we would broadcast a day or so for PRA, is that happening with the affiliates at all?
The radio, Pacifica Radio Archives, two-day broadcast like they had just recently, that is not, I don't believe that's carried on an affiliate station. That's carried on our on our Pacifica network stations. And one of the reasons not to do that is that we are actually asking for funds, and we're giving out an 800 number, and that number goes to Pacifica. So if there's some programming that the affiliates may want, because actually the programming is outstanding on these two-day broadcasts, and if there's some programming, then you would have to do some editing in order to have that information and put it on audio port. For example, the archives this year, we had the first day was a women's programming dedicated primarily. The drive did not achieve the funding, the goal that was stated, but the second day it actually surpassed in terms of what the goal was. But again, the programming that's done on these two-day drives, I actually listened to it because it was very, I thought it was very good.
Okay, but I'm hearing that, what do you strip out the pitch and the what's made available through audio port?
Well, I don't know if it's made available or not. I mean, that's the only way it could be made available through audio port is if you strip out the request, the ask, and then with the phone number. But the programming is very good programming. So if some affiliates want that or can use that for fundraising themselves, you would have to strip that out. You would have to edit all of that to put it on audio port.
Let me just ask a follow-up on that. Is there a policy problem that we would run into? I mean, I can see some potential for landmines, but if, you know, this were to include the ask, and, you know, they were thoroughly aware that this is what we were doing, but they may be, you know, so appreciative of the premiums that are being offered that they would not have a problem with that. So I'm just wondering if you have a sense of this, or is this an Ursula question?
The premiums that are available through the archives all the time. So, I mean, the stations, they are available to the stations, they are available to the affiliates. So any type of premium that is offered, like the whole campus campaign, that's available from the archives all the time. So they would need a pitch from Pacifica.
Let me just tell you,
Brian attends like the NFC, he attends the grassroots, he has a table there, he's constantly selling, he has, so that's how they would know.
Okay.
And also, you know, he does the what is it called, from the archives. He puts that on audio
right.
Port, and affiliates take that.
Okay.
Take his, from the vault. From the
right,
vault.
Right,
that, and then
all right.
Take that.
Okay,
all
thank
right.
you very much.
Bill, you are next on the stack, followed by Ken, followed by Dean.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, LaVarne mentioned that they had to lay off one of the people from the, because they didn't get the CPB grant, but the salaries line, it's line 91, General Ledger Code 6000, is quite a bit more than budget for FY11. Although things like health benefits are lower, so I'm not sure what that means. I was wondering if Lauren could explain that.
Yeah, it's still, there were actually three people who they had there to work on the CPB grant, and they had to, and we, like I said, we kind of struggled along and kept the two there because as we apply for new grants, you have the trained people there and they're available. So it was, you know, as you see, it was worse than budget. So we kind of like. So he kept two. He let one go. And
so they'd actually added more people in.
Well, they had right. added in because we were building up at the beginning of last year to get this grant, which everyone was pretty sure that we would get. And then when CPB cut, that went away. And that, but again,
okay,
we.
Okay.
We're not doing it again this year, and the health benefits. We are, you know, we're looking at a, you know, we budget based on, you know, assumptions, and the assumption was just not correct. Like even this year, I know we're going to talk about benefits in closed session, but we actually on the United Healthcare, we actually got a discount this year, a 3% discount, and the benefits. Stayed essentially the same with the exception of emergency room visits. So that kind of happens, you know, the assumptions were wrong. But even this year, you know, we thought we budgeted an increase, and instead we got this discount.
Okay. I just want to make sure those numbers are right because, again, the gross salary line, the actual is about 20% higher than budget.
Mm-hmm.
And on the health benefits line, though, it's about the actual is about – maybe 30% less than budget. So
wrong assumptions, bad assumptions.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we are going to move on to Ken, who is next on the stack.
This is psychic. I didn't think I'd put myself on the queue, but I did want to ask a question.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a work.
Obviously, it's because I've been watching these Harry Potter movies. That's what it is. So anyhow, I just wanted to more or less make a statement or ask LaVarne about it. As I'm understanding it or looking at the financials, Pacifica Radio Archives is supported by the stations because they're, you know, we're providing the time for the fund drives. I believe we're also providing, you know, room and, excuse me, quarters and utilities. And time for the fund drive. And I thought at some point in time I'd seen extra allocations from the station to support the Pacifica Radio Archives in addition to that, plus, not to say, a continued source of content. So I was hoping, or just wanted to say, if as a business model, we sometime in the future say, well, at this point in time, it's going to be turning around, and it's going to be so fruitful and popular and successful that it will start. That'll start turning around. It'll start to be feeding back to national, at least, and maybe feeding back to sponsor more of the activities and the programming that it survives off of. To get an inversion where it's supporting the network as opposed to the network supporting it. Could you see that in the future?
This is LaVarne. Yeah, exactly, Ken. That's what I was saying earlier. That's why Brian and his group, they're actually working on foundation funding that will allow them to be self-sufficient. And they do receive, what they receive from the stations is that we have the central services, the 19.5. So they get 2.5, except for from KPFK. up where they get the 1.5%. So that's they do get funding and support from the stations. And then the two-day fund drive that they do is of course broadcast over the stations. So that's where they get that. But you're absolutely right. What we're really working on, and it's not in the budget this year, is that we're really working on getting this foundation funding, which we you know, we don't know, you know, 50-50. And the foundation funding we're looking at, not just – we're looking at, you know, getting part of this foundation funding as an endowment. So
that's everybody. But, that's everybody's dream, right?
Right. Well, and the goal is to reduce that 2.5%, exactly, so that the central services will go down to just 17 versus 19.5.
And
so,
maybe inverted.
Will happen. You know, we don't
or
know.
Or inverted, so it becomes a 2.5% from PRA to national.
Well, now, from
why not? I was waiting one other comment. In the multiplicity of venues or outlets now, there's always a potential to be a content source for some other media, you know, like XFM or online, on-demand, something over the cell phones or whatever, of audio content because we've got the material. So if there's a way we can license that and generate revenue income, we should exploit it.
Yeah.
Have it to support the archives and additionally the foundation.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, I'm done. That was my pitch.
Oh, we used to have a
okay. Excuse me a second. This is Tracy. I did have myself on the stack, but of course people get to go in front of the chair. So who else wanted to go?
Campbell.
Okay, Campbell, you want to go for a second time. Is it okay if I go for the first time in front
sure,
of you and then I'll
sure.
go to you? Okay.
You go.
Thanks. All right. Well, I wanted to support the narrative that LeVarne was providing because I remember the archives process last year and I remember the trepidation about including the big grant, which we did. And considering that it didn't come through, it is good to see the archives showing such a small deficit. I mean, I think under the circumstances, that shows a lot of mid-year adapting and paying attention to what was going on and adjusting to a set of expectations that didn't really prove to be correct. And I think that in this year's budget, there was an adjustment made in terms of how to set the assumptions in response to that I think was good. Because we talked a great deal about various things that were in play that might increase the amount of revenue that we were not budgeting in order to make sure that the assumptions were grounded and not sort of in play depending on various factors. The question that I had isn't really about the year-end results for the archives. It's just a question about how the archives fundraiser in November went this year.
Yeah.
That's all.
Like I said, the first day, there were the 2 days, except KPFT actually did a third day. And so, basically, we had it set up to do the 2 days. And for the other stations, the plan is that there will be one of the days that the other stations will be fundraising. They will give a portion of one of those days to the archives. So they will get more funding from the stations because the general managers generally agree that a three-day archive fundraiser is just a little long. And that
too
a two-day drive, you know, we need that for, you know, the branding, for identification, for people to be aware of the archives, aware of the campus campaign. But 3 days get a little long, not only for the stations, but for the archive staff, too. So so the plan is that, let me just finish, that they will do, that there will be a third or another day, a portion of a day of fundraising for the archives for the other four stations. Now, the results of what happened this past in the drive, the first day it was like dedicated just to women, and it generated about $35,000in pledges. And the second day actually generated about $92,000 in pledges. So that was under what we were expecting. But this third day of our portion of a day for from each one of the stations will be for the archives, and that was the agreement from the general managers and working with Brian, and they all agreed that that would be best to do rather than run a full 3-day of archives fundraising, because you know basically you don't want to have a $35,000 day like we had. We want to have these $92,000 days.
Okay.
Kim,
thanks for the update. We'll go to Campbell and then to Kim.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The question I have, I guess, goes back a bit in that Brian, several years ago, I recall, was taking off for the summer to do something with, maybe I shouldn't say what the institution is, an institution in D.C.
Yes.
Yeah, Brian, Campbell, you're veering a little into personnel stuff, I think.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering if that reaped any results, you know, because we were anticipating that it would provide some follow-on opportunities for the foundation.
I would like to discuss a closed session.
Okay, sure.
Okay. I was leaning that way. We'll calendar it in closed.
Okay, that's cool.
Anything else, Campbell?
That's it.
Okay, Kim?
I just want to say one other thing about the first day PRA fund drive. First of all, unfortunately, women don't sell that well. And second of all, I believe it was the first day where they kept interrupting of OWS stuff from out of New York and other. So I think it was mostly New York.
You're correct.
Yeah, so that really put a dent into the time for pitching.
Yeah, because of the current events going on, I can see that.
Yeah, and I mean they just didn't do what they were supposed to do in New York. I think it was only New York. I don't know, but it was significant time. So.
Yeah, that makes it hard, definitely.
And confusing, sort of.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? If not, then I'm happy to report that we get to go to executive session a little earlier than our deadline, maybe. Maybe not.
I will not complain.
Okay, so I heard Bill and I heard R. Paul, and we will carry on.
Yeah, just to clarify on that, the 3-day drive that KPFD did, I asked our GM why we did that, because it wasn't very interesting. I heard a lot of complaints because it was all repeats from what had been on just the day before, the two days before then. And I think he didn't quite know why we were doing it either. But anyway, I don't recommend any other stations do that, you know, repeat what was just on the day or two before. It didn't work very well.
It sounds like nobody else is doing it. So.
No, exactly. No one else is doing that. No.
Okay. Our Paul is next.
Yeah, just very fast about the New York stuff. It's the quandary of a radio station. You have something scheduled, and then you have a big event that's being covered by the news worldwide, and it's literally 4 or 5 blocks away. And, you know, they're discussing the street where your address is. And
yeah.
you got to cover that. You've got to give it some serious coverage because you are literally standing right there looking out the window watching it happen. You look out the windows at BAI, the west-facing windows, you see the French barriers up. You see the heavy police presence, and it's a couple blocks up from there that is Zuccotti Park. So, yes, it does cut into stuff. It's one of those you're damned if you do, damned if you don't kinds of things.
Yeah.
If we hadn't done that, people would be condemning us, saying, and they just went on pitching once again.
Right.
So, you know, so that's the deal. It's unfortunate that things happened on certain days, and that's life.
Yeah. I would endorse that. Okay.
Welcome, Doug.
Anybody else? Okay, well then I think that we will go ahead and follow our agenda and move into executive session a little bit earlier than we had planned. So let's take a 5-minute break, and I will meet all of you on the other side. Is there any objection to adjourning into closed session?
Without objection.
Okay. See you all soon.